I have certainly enjoyed the wonderful song service, the choir, and the specials and everything. It's just a great blessing to be in the house of God and be with all of you dear people. I thank God for your dear pastor, Brother Tyler Gillett. He's just been a great blessing to so many of us, not only here in your church and in this area, but through his preaching and podcast and so forth, the people all over the world, and it's certainly a great blessing to be here. When I hear Dr. Raymond Barber even quoting scripture, I hesitate to call myself a preacher, okay? He is one of my heroes and one of my friends, and I love him from the depth of my heart, and what a great joy to be here. You have in your bulletin the outline, and it's not much of an outline this morning, okay, for the worship service. But in the Sunday school, we mentioned that we're teaching, and this is what Pastor Gillett has asked me to do. That's the reason I'm doing it, okay? But we mentioned that just a simple statement that methods are many, principles are few. Methods are always changing, principles never do. So when you get a hold of some Bible principles for your life and apply them, it helps you from, keeps you from just making emotional decisions and so forth. In other words, you say, like Daniel said, when he purposed in his heart, in other words, there are certain things I'm going to do, there are some things that I am not going to do. And then when you are faced with the temptation to waver from that, you go back to your principle and say, no, that's a biblical principle. I'm going to stay with it. For the worship service this morning, we're going to think about principle number one. And principle number one is this: relationships are more important than things or fame. Matthew 6, 19 and 21. Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And then the very insightful thought: for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Relationships are far more important than things or fame. Things and fame are temporary. In other words, people that are well known in this generation, a few years down the road, you mention their name and no one will name them, know them. I've spoken in many high schools and colleges and so forth, and I often say to young men, hey, you know the name Stan Musial or Ted Williams? And they'll look at me like, who in the world is that? Now, in my day and Dr. Barber's day, these were big names, Brother Barber. Two most famous baseball players in the world at that time. Fame is fading. It can be here today and gone tomorrow. So don't live your life for fame, and don't live your life for things. Jesus said it very plainly. Life does not consist in the abundance of things possessed. In other words, my relationships are far more important than fame. My relationships are far more important than things. Now, by far, the most important relationship that anyone can develop and maintain is my relationship with Almighty God. Amen. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And in John chapter 3, we read these words. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now think about it. Jesus is talking to not a criminal, not to some rebel. Jesus is talking to one of the great religious leaders of that day, a Pharisee, a teacher of the law. And he comes to Jesus. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Naturally, that's an impossibility, okay? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, unless a man have two births, the water, the natural birth, and then the spiritual birth. By our natural birth, we receive physical life. By our spiritual birth, we receive spiritual life. In other words, we are dead until we become a born-again child of God. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. So to begin with, all of us at one time had the same kind of relationship with God. We were alienated from him. We were separated from him. And yet the Bible says, now we have been reconciled through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Except a man be born again. You know the rest of the story. Nicodemus begins to ask, how can these things be? Drop down, if you would, to verse 12. I have told you earthly things, and you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended into heaven, but he that descended down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. How can you be born again, Jesus? And then Jesus gives Nicodemus an illustration from the Old Testament. The book of Numbers, chapter 21. You don't have to turn there. You know the story. The children of Israel murmuring, why did you take us out of Egypt? We're tired of this manna. On and on and on. And God sent serpents among them that began to bite the people. And many of them began to die. And then they come to Moses and say, Moses, what can we do? What can we do? Pray for us. And Moses prayed to God. You remember the story. God said to Moses, okay, Moses, take a fiery serpent. Nail it to a cross, to a pole. Lift that pole high in the air. And then, everyone who has been bitten by the serpent, when he looks at that serpent on the pole, will be healed. Can it get any simpler than that? What did they have to do to be healed? Just look. Just look. Jesus said, Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And Jesus, the sinless Son of God, the impeccable one, lived all of his life without any sin whatsoever. Yet they nailed him to a cross. They scourged him. They nailed him to a cross. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men to me. So what do you have to do to be born again? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, lifted up on the cross, dying for sinners. He who knew no sin, becoming sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. What do you have to do? Listen to Isaiah. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and beside me there are no others. Amen. Look and live. Look and live. Now, in order to look and live, you have to realize that you're a sinner on your way to hell. Now, there's no conversion without conviction. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He came into his own, speaking of Jesus Christ. His own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Amen. Romans 6:23. What a great verse. The wages of sin is death. That's bad news, amen. The wages of sin is death. And yet every once in a while, I hear some dummy make a statement like this. All I want is what I deserve. No, you don't. If I got what I deserve, if you got what you deserve, we'd all spend eternity in hell separated from God. The wages of sin is death. By the way, there's no bargain basement for sin. No bargain sale. The wages, that's what we deserve. We were sinners, separated, alienated from God. Actually, the Bible says we were enemies of God. But then there's a conjunction, but. And aren't we glad for that conjunction? But the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. What do you have to do? Look, if you're here this morning and you have never had a new birth experience, could I urge you this morning, even as Isaiah said, look unto me and be ye saved. Look, look. And the very moment that we realize we are sinners and on our way to hell, and in childlike faith simply trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that very moment we're saved. Born again. We receive spiritual life, a new life. The most important relationship in all of the world, the most important decision for any man anywhere is to be sure that you have been born again. Amen. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you have that relationship with the Lord? Have you trusted him as Lord and Savior? If not, just as those children of Israel looked at that brazen serpent, and all they had to do was look, and when they looked, they were healed. And I urge you, look to the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. I must be sure that I have a personal relationship with the Lord. I asked a man in Paducah, Kentucky one time, do you know you're saved and going to heaven? He said, preacher, I'll have to write and ask my mom. I said, if you have to write and ask your mom, I can tell you, okay? No. This is a personal relationship. It's not something your parents do for you. It's not something somebody else can do for you. It's something you have to do for yourself. Amen. Trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, sometimes we get the idea. Little children can get saved. But if they do, they got to start thinking like adults. You know what Jesus said? You adults can get saved. But if you do, you're going to have to start thinking like little children, okay? In other words, I could take a 7 or 8 year old boy and I could tell him, I'm the strongest man in the world. He'd turn around and say, look here, he's the strongest man in the world. They just believe. Believe. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. I had a woman say to me one time, her son was 16 years old. She said, Brother Sisk, I'm afraid he's going to be lost. I said, you're going to have to be afraid of that. He's already lost. He's already condemned. And all that's keeping the condemnation of God off of him is the brittle thread of life. And if you're here this morning, have never trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, flee from the wrath of God. Trust him. Look to the Lamb of God and be saved. But then when we get saved, that's not the end of it. We need a daily walk with the Lord. Psalms 46:10 says this, be still and know that I You know, the hardest thing in the world to do today is to be still. Either you got your iPhone or your iPad or your computer or the radio or an iPod or whatever. I mean, if we're not careful, we'll be so busy with so many things that we forget to take time to be with the Lord. Could I urge you this morning? Every born-again child of God, have a quiet time every day. A time when you get your Bible, God's Word, you get in a place where you can talk to God and let God talk to you. In other words, it's a wonderful thing to be saved. But once we're saved, Christ lives in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And he is ready to guide us with his eye as daily we get into his word and talk to him. Prayer, talking to God, and letting God talk to us. A relationship with God. My next important relationship is my relationship with my mate. Outside of my relationship with God, the most important relationship that I can have is my relationship with my mate. By the way, that's more important than your relationship with your children. Once you get saved, once you get married, that's more important than your relationship with your parents. Okay. Remember, God told them to cleave to one another. You shall be one flesh. In other words, husband and wife relationship. By the way, God gives us a perfect pattern for that. I was in a place where you go through the line, get all the food you want. I forget what they call it. It's really a fat man's delight, okay? But I had gone back for seconds, and when I got in the line, there were two girls there, and nobody else was in line. And the girls were talking. And the one was married and the other wasn't married. And the unmarried girl, the single girl, said to the married one, "Could you say that your marriage is really a happy marriage?" And she kind of snickered and said, "Well, you know, I guess not, you know." And the single girl said, "I already find anybody that's happily married." So this has been several years ago, probably 20 years ago. So I said to her, I said, "My wife and I have been married for 45 years, and we are very happy with each other." And she said, "Really? In other words, can anybody be married that long and be happy with one another? Really?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "By the way, I've got a book that tells you how you can have a happy marriage. I mean, it's a guaranteed happy marriage." She said, "Really? What's the name of that book?" And I said, "The Bible." You base your marriage on this word, and I'll guarantee you it'll be the kind of marriage that it ought to be. "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." That's the way to have a good, happy marriage. The man's filled with the Spirit. The woman's filled with the Spirit. "Submit yourself one to the other." By the way, a lot of husbands forget they said that before the next verse, okay? "Submit yourself one to another." Be submissive to one another. "Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord." I had a lady tell me one time, "I could not be submissive to any man." I said, "Okay, then don't make any man miserable. Be an old maid, amen? Don't get married." Hey, by the way, if you're not willing to follow the biblical plan for marriage, you shouldn't get married. "Wives, submit yourself to your own husband." Doesn't mean the wife is dumber than the husband. No, no. I know literally hundreds of people real well. I hardly know anybody whose husband is smarter than his wife. Does it mean they're different? Yes. They're different. Wives are to be submissive to their own husbands in all things, as unto the Lord. Well, you say, that's a big order. Not if you read the next verse. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved his church and gave his life for it." Would that make a happy home or not? Husbands loving the wives even as Christ loved his church. In other words, Christ gave up his life. He died for his church. And that's the kind of commitment and love that the husband ought to have for the wife. By the way, it'd be pretty easy to be submissive to a husband like that. Amen? Husband, the relationship between husband. I've seen too many families raise children. The children leave home, and then all of a sudden, the home breaks up. I've seen that happen over and over and over again. By the way, it takes time to make a marriage what it ought to be. Keep the honey in the honeymoon, okay? Husbands, do the good things for your wife that it took to get her in the first place, okay? Yeah. Buy the candy, buy the flowers, remember the special days and so forth. Husbands, love your wife. Wife, submit yourself to your own husband. Then the next important relationship is the parent-child relationship. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. You say that's old-fashioned. That's biblical, amen? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor thy parents. Honor thy mother and father. That's in the Bible. You say, well, I'm smarter than my mother and father. But they'll get smarter the older you get, okay? And then fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in fear and admonition of the Lord. What a great relationship that is. Amen. Husband and wife loving each other, being submissive to each other. Children obeying the parents. Fathers not provoking the children, but bringing them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. By the way, little children can learn a lot. I've got two children, six grandchildren, and seven great-grandchildren. I never dreamed that grandchildren could become insignificant. But they did. When the great-grandchildren started coming along, I mean, you know, grandchildren are just somebody to have great-grandchildren, I mean. I'm not proud of everything they did, but one of my granddaughters was visiting me the other day. She and her husband, they've got a little girl that was named after my wife, Virginia. In fact, I never will forget when Mallory called and said to my wife, Granny, we got a new little girl. And Virginia said, really? That is wonderful. She said, Mallory, what is her name? And she said, her name is Virginia Penelope. And Virginia started crying and crying. She had the little girl named after her. And I got to take her up there, and she got to hold little Jenny, love on her a little bit before she went to heaven. But they've got a little boy, 3 years old. And I noticed every night before they go to bed, they sing hymns for about a half an hour, just hymns. And Donna, the grandmother of the little boy, Jade, said they were out walking the other day. She said, Jay, while we're walking, let's sing a song. What's your favorite song? And he said, Bella, how about Amazing Grace? And they sang Amazing Grace, and she said he sang every verse of it. And they got through with that and said, would you like to sing another song, Jay? And he said, yeah. Let's sing How Great Is Thy Faithfulness, or Great Is Thy Faithfulness. Now, wait a minute, he's 3 years old. And he knew all the words. The great is thy faithfulness. Just don't throw away the old hymns, folks. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Then the relationship between employer and employee. Wouldn't it be great if we would follow the exhortation of the Lord Jesus Christ out of it? That employees and employers would learn how to treat each other. Masters, be kind to the employee. Remember, you were a servant one time. Okay? You were a servant to sin. Employees, don't just do eye service. Just don't do something when somebody's watching you. Be a good employee. Be a good employer. In other words, have the right kind of relationship one with the other. Amen. Then let me close with this. If I'm going to have the right kind of relationship with my God in a born-again experience, in a daily walk with the Lord, if I'm going to have a right relationship with my mate, if I'm going to have a right relationship with my children, I need something else. I need a church. I need a church. And by the way, not just a Sunday school church, or not just a Sunday morning church, but church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. I cannot have the right relationship with my God, who is in heaven, if I do not have a right relationship with his church, which is here on the earth. And I cannot rear my children right if I do not bring them to the house of God. If I do not teach them that faithfulness to the house of God is right, then when they grow up, they're not going to do that. I never will forget when our children were young. We'd go back to Kentucky, and you know, our relatives, they thought we were way too hard on the children. You make them go to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. We never made our children go to church one time. They went to church. They didn't even have an option, okay? It was never on Sunday morning. What are we going to do today? No. We know what we're going to do today. What are we going to do tonight? Sunday night. Hey, they're having church. We're going to be in church Sunday night. What are you going to do on Wednesday night? They're going to prayer meeting. We need prayer meeting. Right relationship. Now, I don't know how many times they've said this to me. Boy, you don't let them go to the movies. You don't let them wear a certain kind of clothes. You take them to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. When they get grown, they'll forsake all that. Guess what? They didn't. You know what they say now when we get together? Don and Virginia are lucky. Huh? No. It's not lucky. It's the promises of God being fulfilled. Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where what? Moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. When all that fame and all of those things are gone and amount to nothing, the thing that will really last for eternity is the relationships that we have made. My relationship with my God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Do you have that peace? Have you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Then walking daily with the Lord. Having a right relationship with your mate. Having a right relationship with your children and children with the parents. Relationships. Relationships. Developing and maintaining proper relationships are far more important than anything you could ever hope for or ever have or any wealth that you might ever gain. One day, all of those things will be gone. When Jesus comes back, we're not going to take anything with us except our relationships. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand for prayer, if you would. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and I'm going to pray in just a minute, then Brother Andrew will sing an invitational song for us. You'll have an opportunity to do business with God. I wonder before I pray, how many of you would be willing to lift your hand this morning and say, Brother Sisk, I have been born again. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I know I'm saved and going to heaven. Lift your hands real high and just hold them up for a minute. Would you do it? Just keep them up for just a minute. By the way, that's a wonderful sight. You may put your hands down. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. Wonder how many of you could say this morning, Brother Sis, I'm sort of like Nicodemus. I don't maybe understand all those things about being born again. But listen to Jesus. Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And he was. And when you look to him for salvation, you can be saved. Realizing you're a sinner and on your way to hell and cannot save yourself, and trusting him as your Lord and your Savior. I wonder if there's a man or a woman or a boy or girl this morning that would lift your hand and just say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved and going to heaven, but I know for sure I don't want to die and go to hell. And I'd like to know that all my sins are forgiven and that I have a right relationship with God and that heaven will be my home. Would you just lift your hand real high and let me see it? And I'll see your hand. You can put it right back down. God bless you. God bless you. Okay, may I put your hand down? on my left, anybody, just say, I'm not sure that I'm saved and going to heaven. Thank you. God bless you. I'm sure I don't want to die and go to hell. I'd like to know that I've been saved. All my sins are gone. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That I'll be in heaven for eternity with God. Anybody else? Just lift your hand. In just a minute, we're going to sing an invitational song. And you that lifted the hand, there'll be some people standing here in the front that will be willing to help you. If you're a man, some man will take the Bible, show you from the Bible how you can know you're saved and going to heaven. If you're a lady, some lady will take the Bible and show you how you can know you're saved and going to heaven. Wonder how many Christians are here this morning. You say, Brother Sis, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I lifted my hand. I know that. But there are some commitments, some decisions I need to make. I want you to pray with me and pray for me this morning. Maybe some of you have been saved. You've never been baptized. That's the first thing you ought to do is follow the Lord, scriptural baptism. Read the New Testament. Everybody got saved, got baptized. Okay? Everybody except the thief on the cross. Okay? And you're not a thief. And you're not on the cross. Okay? So if you've been saved, not baptized, you ought to get baptized. Maybe you're saved and baptized and you're not a member of a good church where you are really taking a part in it. And you'd like to come this morning and unite with this church. Maybe you're a member of Worth Baptist Church, but you've not been faithful. Baptized. There's some commitments you know to make this morning. I wonder how many Christians would be honest with yourself now this morning and say, Brother Sisk, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. But there are some commitments, there are some decisions that I need to make this morning. I wonder if you'd lift your hand real high and let me see it. Okay, God bless you. 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 All over the building. All over the building. By the way, when God speaks to your heart about something, that's the time to get that thing settled. And I know you can make that decision where you're standing, but I found all my life, anytime I made a commitment of that nature, and I came to this altar and sealed it, it just meant something. Dear Lord, we thank you for the wonderful opportunity just to preach your glorious word, the Bible. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you left heaven in all of its glory and came to this earth to suffer and bleed and die so we as sinners could be saved. Dear Lord, help those who lifted a hand just a minute ago. During the invitation, they'll step out from where they're standing. They'll come forward and let somebody take the Bible, show them how they can know they're saved and going to heaven. Nobody's going to embarrass them. We just want to help them. Then, dear Lord, the many that lifted the hand and said, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I've been born again. But the commitments, decisions I need to make, dear Lord, help them to come today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.